It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in and watching on Facebook Live. I have a great honor today. I have my new friend Mike Dominic coming from Monroe, New Jersey. We're going to be talking about Make-A-Wish, New Jersey. Make-A-Wish, New Jersey was founded over 40 years ago, and they've given out over 12,000 wishes to very sick kids, giving hope, lifting up spirits, helping the families, helping the communities. And we're going to go on a journey with Mike today about his life and his involvement with Make-A-Wish and all the wonderful things he's seen for the last 13 years. And it's a great honor to have Mike on today. Mike, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me and for giving us this chance to share our mission.
Yeah, I understand you had a big event last night at American Dream, and I know you're still glowing from it. And for the people watching and listening, you got your Make-A-Wish beautiful
sweater on there. Of course, absolutely.
So how was it yesterday?
It was phenomenal. We're all, like you said, we're still glowing. We're all a little tired, but it was a great event. It was our walk and roll for Wishes, which is an annual event that was put on hold, like everything else was, for a couple of years due to everything that was going on in the world. But it's one of our key signature fundraising events, and specifically, it's the fundraising event of the year that's really open to everybody. Our events are always open to everybody. This is that one that everybody tends to get involved in because you participate to the level that you can participate at. It's a community walk and roll event. We call it a walk and roll. So many of our Wish kids and families, due to their medical illnesses, are wheelchair bound. So we want to be sure that we're being inclusive to everybody to be a part of this. Teams sign up in advance. They fundraise, whether it's individuals, big groups. We've got families who come with just maybe, you know, mom and a kid, mom, dad and a kid, couple of siblings, or you got teams like our buddy Wish Kid Caleb, who showed up with 45 people from his town and everything in between. And it was a great opportunity to be at American Dream. We had about 600 people show up, the monies are still rolling in, but it's raised about $150,000 so far and growing. And that's what puts the wind in our sails and gives us the confidence to go out and find more wishes.
Awesome. Yeah, like I said, I know it was kind of so appropriate. You had the big event yesterday. And I know you're tired, but, you know, like you said, thank you for joining us today.
No, the tired was just a joke.
No, you look handsome, but I mean, you said it was a long day. But it's a labor of love. And one of the things that I love doing the show is to put the spotlight on folks, organizations making a difference, lifting up the world. And in this case, what's more important than helping out sick kids? Mm-hmm. Kids that are very, very unfortunate, very serious illnesses. I'm sure they need hope and something to hold on to, and same thing with the families. I know you have a personal story with Make-A-Wish with your brother Matt, and I understood in getting ready for the show, he was a young little kid, 2 years old, you were seven, and unfortunately he had a very serious illness. Tell us a little bit about your first experience with Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, I mean, that's what got me involved and my family involved, and quite honestly, my story, we hear it from a lot of people. This is usually the origin of people's, you know, relationship to this mission because it is so powerful. But going back a long time now, I'm getting up there in years. But when I was a young boy, my younger brother Matt, we had a devastating experience. My parents couldn't wake him up one morning, and obviously rushed him to the hospital. And we found out, and he wasn't even a year old at the time, but we found out they had a brain tumor. So he was rushed to Children's Hospital Philadelphia, and they had to do surgery to remove the tumor. And thankfully, he survived. But then fast forward two more years, and he had relapsed, and the tumor was back. And that's when we were introduced to Make-A-Wish. He was 2.5 at the time. Our volunteers and the Make-A-Wish team over in our sister chapter over in the Philadelphia area, they spoke to our family, and Matt declared his wish to go to Walt Disney World. And, you know, I was seven at the time. I knew my brother was sick. I was old enough to understand this is not a cold. This is not a run-of-the-mill illness. This is serious. This is something different than my friends deal with. You know, my brother's in the hospital for days, weeks on end. It's not normal. But that trip is something that we will never forget. I remember it vividly. I remember moments of it vividly. My older sister and I both do. My parents do. Matt does, as young as he was. Thanks to good old VHS tapes too, we've still got the tapes from the trip. But it was a week with no doctors, no hospitals. It was a week where all five of us were together, which quite honestly was not the norm at the time. It was usually some juggling of, I'm with dad tonight, or mom's at the hospital, or vice versa, or, you know, my sister's going to go visit, so she's at home. All five of us in the same place at the same time for 6 days. It wasn't happening. And it was a great experience for us, and obviously fun at 7 years old. But as I grew up and I looked back on it and I watched my family get involved, my parents became volunteers immediately. They have served on so many councils with the Philadelphia chapter. It was the mission that really kind of resonated with our family. We became what we felt like. You become part of the Make-A-Wish family the day your wish is granted. But we felt that that was where we belonged. And so I followed in their footsteps and I began volunteering as soon as I could at the age of 18. Some buddies of mine and I were putting together entertainment things, performances and stuff, raising funds. And then it just was very clear to me as I grew up and got out of college and was looking for that path in life. I knew that I had been spending all my time that I had with this mission, maybe this is where I belong as a career. So that's my story, and I'm proud to tell you that Matt's great, doing well. He's cancer-free for 25 years now. He's married, he's got a little baby boy of his own, and he's doing great.
Awesome. Well, shout out to Matt and your whole family. That was the beautiful thing when I was getting ready for the show, is on the journey,
yeah,
on the journey giving back. I mean, talk about your journey. It was pretty awesome that you saw firsthand as a young, really, you were young, you were a kid at, yeah, seven, the impact it had on your life, Matt, your family, the whole family, but you're now so involved in it. Did you envision back when you were just such a young kid? I can know this is your passion. You've been doing this 13 years, first, yeah, in Connecticut and now in New Jersey for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Did you know that, you know, something in your heart, you were going to do this?
I mean, I don't think it's 7 years. Like, I think I'll get a career going in marketing and communications, and I'll do it for Make-A-Wish. But I do think that as I became a teenager and I started doing my own thing for them, I could definitely confidently tell you that I knew that I'd be involved with Make-A-Wish for, you know, forever, I guess. It will be forever. I know it will be. Career-wise, not sure, but I had to go find myself like everyone does. But I can promise you that this mission was going to be a part of me forever.
No question. And you also mentioned your parents. God bless them. They got involved because, mm-hmm, they saw firsthand what Make-A-Wish was doing for your family, for their loved one, for Matt, and, yeah, for everyone, to lift up the spirits. And that's a beautiful thing. I also know your connection. We were talking before we started that you were working at Make-A-Wish, and someone that was working there introduced you to your now wife.
That's right.
Talk about Make-A-Wish paying some dividends.
Absolutely. I have to say, you know, as much as I said, I'll be involved with this mission for as long as I can. It seems to have played a pretty important role in my life too, and well beyond my brother. You're right. Every time I've turned a corner, Make-A-Wish has played a small role in the next step in my life, including meeting my wife.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it also goes back to kind of my belief. If you know, hang around good people, you're doing good stuff, good things happen to happen. May take a while, but it definitely happens. So let's talk about, you know, Make-A-Wish and what it's all about. And one of the things that I realize is that Make-A-Wish New Jersey is one of the chapters throughout our great country. And also read, there's also obviously throughout the world now Make-A-Wish. And I couldn't help myself. I'm not a huge football fan the way I used to be, mm-hmm, but I watch, you know, Kyle Stickles, and he announced a 15th pick in the first round, right?
Yep.
Roger Goodell. And this youngster stole the show.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And, you know, I'm on Facebook a lot, and people were saying, Kyle, Kyle, Kyle.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to get your perspective on just how cool it was to see a young kid. He's like 13, bone cancer. God bless him. I know he's winning the battle, and it's such a beautiful thing to, yeah, know that. But I saw him get on the stage, and I'm like, he was so poised. But I love the energy, and it was awesome. What was your thoughts about that?
So actually, it's great that you're bringing this up. Go back a couple of days prior to his big moment, I actually had a chance to meet Kyle and his family. They came down to Florham Park, and they were part of the press conference with the Jets, and I had the great fortune of being there with the family. And Kyle was obviously this charismatic kid, but this is an out-of-body experience. All of a sudden, you're walking into a place that, you know, these are the people he's been looking up to his entire life, right? I mean, his dad was in his glory, let alone a kid of his age, right? And I watched Kyle's energy grow. I watched his confidence grow. And he was meeting with the GM. And first off, the Jets rolled out the carpet for him, the green carpet, we'll call it, right? And they made him feel at home. They made him feel like he was part of that family before he even took the stage with the commissioner that night. But seeing what he did on stage that night, I felt like he had even gotten more into his role and understood what his role was that night. And he owned it. Yeah. He owned it. And that's what Make-A-Wish does. It just reignites your spirit. Whether it's the wish kid or the sibling or the parents, it just re-energizes you and it puts something in you that we can't measure and I can't clearly define for you. But it is the piece of the puzzle that's missing. We've often said, Make-A-Wish picks up where science and medicine leaves off. The medical treatments and the doctors and the nurses, and we thank them for all of their efforts, because without the science and the medicine and their tireless treatments and their day in and day out care for these kids, we don't know where these kids would be, right? But there is that piece of your soul. There is that hope that's necessary to keep fighting, and we've heard it time and again. And I think the energy we saw in Kyle that night, it was just such a manifestation of everything that we believe is what we do.
Mike, it's kind of interesting. So I, like I said, I'm on Facebook, I watch, and Make-A-Wish hits me in the heart. I mean, I'm blessed with young kids, and God forbid, you always kind of think if it ever happened, organizations like Make-A-Wish.
It's the unthinkable.
Off the charts, to lift up a family. But I didn't know you were at that press conference, but I was watching that.
Yeah.
And they asked this kid, this youngster, Kyle, about who's going to take
it. Oh, man, yeah.
And he says, I know we don't need a quarterback.
He couldn't have nailed that better.
They don't need a quarterback with Aaron.
I made a joke with him. I said, man, that was a great answer. You're going to take my job.
That's the beauty of Make-A-Wish, because, it looked like, as you said, the Jets, for example, rolled out the red carpet, in this case, the green carpet, and they welcomed him. It looked so real. Mm-hmm. And the same thing when he took the stage with Roger Goodell, which is obviously, a huge honor to be there on the stage. But they made the experience. But you've seen this firsthand. 12,000 wishes Make-A-Wish is granted over 40 years. And I'm like, that is a lot of wishes. And with the beauty of it is it's so authentic and real. Tell us about that. What does Make-A-Wish do for all the listeners? Make-A-Wish New Jersey, what does it do to kind of make it so real and authentic?
Honestly, it's having the team that we have, and we're so fortunate to have the team that we have, whether it being our full-time staff and our volunteers and our donors and our board. They believe in what we do. They experience something like Kyle. All it takes is one. You witness one, you're there for one, and you see what it does, and you realize the magnitude of what a wish can do. This is not, I'll take my brother's trip as a great example, and I'll use it as the example. But for you and I, as you said, you're fortunate. Kids are healthy, right? So we take them on a vacation. We go on a trip, and it's great, and it's fun, and it is. We're gonna have those memories to last a lifetime. But it's not the same. It's not the same as these kids that are going through what they're going through, and these families that are broken, and these families that are juggling schedules, and being tossed off to a neighbor or a grandparent as a sibling is the norm. And so that trip isn't just the next vacation. It's the chance to exhale. It's the chance to leave that in the rearview mirror. It's the chance to turn the page. And as soon as anybody who's involved with Make-A-Wish experiences that and sees what it is, how can you not want to do another one and another one and another one? But more importantly, to your point, make it special and make it unique. 12,000 wishes, and my brother's trip to Walt Disney World, he's not the only kid that's gone to Walt Disney World. It's the most popular wish that we receive. But we want to take the time. Why do you want to go? Why do you want to go to Hawaii? Why do you want to go to Walt Disney? Why do you want to do the draft pick for the Jets? Why do you, whatever that wish is, why do you want that puppy or that camper? We focus on the why. And that's where we have the opportunity to make it special and unique and put something extra into it to make sure that this child knows that we're not just booking a trip. We're not just checking a box. We see you. We hear you. We hear your story. I want to say we understand you, but we'll never understand. But you have our sympathy and our compassion, and we're going to make this special for you.
Yeah, I was, like you said, I'm on the website. And for the listeners, if they want to reach out to Make-A-Wish New Jersey, donate, learn more about the mission, maybe volunteer, how do they reach you?
Best place to go is our website, nj.wish.org. It's got everything you need to know there, all kinds of information on the many ways to get involved. Of course, donations are key. We are 100% privately funded. We don't receive government support. We don't charge our families fees. Every penny that we need to do these wishes comes from the community. So obviously donations are always needed. But you can volunteer for us. We're always looking to deepen our relationships in the medical community. The way we grant these wishes, the referrals come in through the medical community, doctors, nurses, social workers, and child life specialists. And the best way to get involved in whatever capacity it is that you're looking for is to check the website out. But of course, if you don't know how to get involved, but you just want to, and you just want to talk to somebody, we're there, 609-371-WISH, and just give us a call.
Wonderful. And you know, I was out last night with my family, local restaurant. I ran into a guy, I'd see him every now and then at the restaurant, a great guy, Jamie, and he has a horse farm local. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him, like, I don't think you knew I do this show. It's a secret. Hopefully more people will tune in. But literally, I'm like, oh, I'm going to bring on this guy from Make-A-Wish, you know, Mike. And, you know, he's like, Make-A-Wish? I was doing that. I was letting the kids come out to my ranch and, wow, and a horse, and, you know, they ride the horses. I'm like, well, you got to get back doing it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think he's going to do it. But it's the beauty of Make-A-Wish is your organization, depending on what the child wants, you normally can meet that. From what I research, you never say no to a wish.
No.
How is that possible?
It's possible because there is good in the world. There is good in the world. And there's a ripple effect that comes with this wish. You know, as you speak to it, like, we grant wishes for the child, but we involve the family, but then it can engage a community. And then you meet people who have a resource available to you. I talked about our need for funding, and there will always be that need, but there are resources that we need as well to reach out to get some of these wishes done. Travel wishes, you know, we know how to do that. There's a playbook involved there, right? We know what we need to get done. But sometimes you get those wishes that there is no playbook, that you haven't heard of it before, and we don't run from them. As a matter of fact, you know, people in my, you know, neck of the woods in marketing communications, we kind of love it, right? We love the challenge. We like to scratch our head and go, how are we going to get this one done? And it does happen. And that's where people in the community within a unique niche, or whether it's, you know, what they're doing in a full-time capacity or a hobby or a talent or even just a connection, the Make-A-Wish arm, as I'll call it, just continues to grow. And we're so fortunate to have that because we are able to grant so many types of wishes. Obviously, we have some parameters. We can't do things that are unsafe for the child. But aside from some of those parameters, which are strictly in place for the safety and well-being of the child and their family, we say it's limited to the child's imagination.
Well, what's that like, though, Mike, when you approach an organization that the child wants to have that wish? What's the reaction when, let's say, there is someone with a set of those skills or opportunity? Mm-hmm. And this goes back to your experience with the public. And another reason why I love doing the show is there's so much good out there, and people sometimes just don't see it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why everybody gets caught up too much in the negative, but there's so many beautiful, wonderful people out there and organizations. So what's your reaction, like, what's your thoughts when you have to approach an entity, let's say, and there's like a unique wish? What's your experience with these entities?
It's always a great one, to be honest with you. One of the things that we've come to know, and I think this is kind of true across the nonprofit space in general, but is we've all come to the understanding and remind ourselves of this when you do need to go make that interesting ask, or sometimes, you know, the number one reason people don't get involved is because they weren't asked. That's the number one reason. And anybody who is asked to get involved would tell you that. I simply haven't been asked. So that's the confidence that we get. Ask. If they can't do it, they won't do it. And maybe they can't do it, but they can point you in a better direction, but make the ask. But our experience is that people want to do it. They want to get involved. And often they love the opportunity to get involved in a different, unique way. And if you don't mind, I'll share a story with you with an exact situation just that illustrates that point. We had a teenage girl who came to us with her wish. She was 16 at the time. This was a couple years ago, Michaela. And her wish, she told us she wanted to be a cardiothoracic surgeon. Talk about playbooks.
Wow.
There's no playbook for that wish.
That's unusual.
And of course, you know, we don't just say no, pick another. We don't do that. We do our research. We see what we can do. So we asked her more and more about why. She was very into science. She was a very smart young lady in high school, knew that this was the career path for her. She knew what she wanted to do, study medicine. And she even knew the best facilities for cardiothoracic surgery and work, and where the top surgeons were in the world. So we reached out to one of the facilities that she shared with us, the Texas Heart Institute in Houston. And their team was all over it. And before we knew it, we had Michaela in Houston for 6 days doing grand rounds, walking the halls, meeting with quite literally world-renowned cardiothoracic surgeons, people, you know, from international locations that have come to THI, meeting with the president to understand the business of the hospital. She was going into labs and seeing research that they were literally telling us, no pictures, like this is still very much, you know, in its early stages. I mean, she was getting a behind the scenes look at what her future was going to look like. She scrubbed into 6 surgeries, no scalpels. We did draw the line. You can observe.
There's some liability.
But I mean, they got her as close to that real experience as she could have possibly had. And you know, could we have said, you know what, we don't really know how to do that. Is there anywhere else you want to go or something you want to do? We could do that, but then we wouldn't be who we know we are to be. And the end result, fast forward now, Michaela just finished her first year at University of Pennsylvania studying pediatric medicine.
Awesome, man. That's a beautiful story. See, that's the kind of stuff Make-A-Wish makes dreams come true.
Yeah.
And that's like an incredible thing. So on an extraordinarily serious note, these kids are really sick. There's mm-hmm. certain eligibility that I was researching yeah. about. You have to have a very serious life-threatening illness. And how do you reflect on that, Mike? Because you got such a passion for it. And obviously, Matt, God bless him, and everybody you guys have touched who make a wish. But what's it like when you realize, you know, the fragility of life? And that's one of the other things, too. Everybody gets caught up in the world they're living in.
Yeah.
They don't realize how blessed they are and how fortunate. But what's it like when you see, like, a young person, you're like, oh, my God, like, this is a real serious life-threatening disease?
It's tough. But you realize how tough this is on the family. And thank you for bringing that up. It's always a great opportunity to illustrate to the public who we serve. People have a good idea of what Make-A-Wish is at a high level, but we always like the opportunity to really educate the public. And it is. So to qualify for a wish, you're between 2.5 and 18, and you have what we deem to be a critical life-threatening illness, a progressive, degenerative, or malignant condition. These kids are at the dawn of life, 2.5 years old, even up to 18, you're a teenager. We as adults run from the reality of our mortality, do we not? Nobody wants to think about the fact that we have a mortality in front of us.
You know, I was working out this morning and someone was talking about, like, when are you going to, because you don't know when you're going to pass. And it was just strange because, you know, you're right. No one wants to think about it. What age you think you're going to pass away at, right?
Yeah.
You don't really think like that. So what does that put in perspective for you and the organization?
Yeah, I mean, so imagine being a kid and being faced with that reality, because, you know, maybe at 2.5, there's some innocence that, you know, you can protect the child from that. But as they get into those middle ages of our qualifying ages, they understand what they're being told. They know what that diagnosis is. They know what can happen. You know, the doctors are doing everything they can to make sure that doesn't happen, but they've been told that that's their reality now. And so it's difficult for that family. And while it is difficult for us, we realize how difficult it is for them. And we need to come in and remember, what is our role in this journey? We're entering their lives at a very vulnerable moment. You know, we are coming into their lives where they've just been leveled. They've just been laid out on the floor, right? You know, nobody wants to hear about their kid having to face the potential of their mortality. But we remind ourselves, but what is our role in all of this? And our role is the happiness, that the joy, to restore hope, to bring something back into their lives that was ripped from them when they got that news. And we try to remain focused on the positivity of what a wish can bring. And that's what inspires us to keep going.
You guys never stop, and it's pretty incredible. You also mentioned a little bit about the fact that your organization, Make-A-Wish New Jersey, is all private monies coming mm-hmm. and all donors, good folks, giving back, different fundraisers, mm-hmm. could be golf, whatever events are out there. What's it like when you see just folks from their heart just donating, trying to make a difference? Because everybody has a different gift in life. Some people are extraordinarily wealthy mm-hmm. and they have the financial wherewithal. They can donate a lot of money. Other people have the gift of imagination. Mm-hmm. Some people are doers. They'll get in there, roll up their sleeves and go wherever they need to go to help make the wish come true. But what's it like when you see the communities pull together to lift others?
It's what puts the wind in our sails. There's, you know, it's what reminds us that what we do, we know, we have come to know, 40 years here in New Jersey, 43 since Make-A-Wish was founded globally, that what we do is more than just a nice, warm and fuzzy thing. It's important, and we hear that day in and day out from the families. Those are not just our ego speaking. We've received these testimonials to assure to us that what we've got here and what we're doing here matters and plays a role. And we hear from the families, we hear from the doctors, we hear them tell us. We place Make-A-Wish into the treatment protocol. We know where we bring up Make-A-Wish with these families. We've got it in the playbook. But the same goes for our donors. These donors, many of our donors, are coming to us year in, year out. Many of them continued to give throughout the pandemic when many people didn't know what the future was in store for them. To know that we remained front of mind, to know that they remained committed and said, I will not renege on and when anything I've committed to you, I will not back out of that commitment. I know these kids need these wishes. How uplifting and how inspiring is that? And how reminding is that to us that what we do matters? It matters to the kids. It matters to the families. It matters to the medical professionals. It matters to our donor. It matters to everybody.
It's awesome. And like I said, that's why I was so honored to have you come on. I want to talk a little bit about Joseph Plumieri, the wishing plate.
Sure.
I know in honor of his parents, right? Josephine Plumieri, which was opened in 2011. Tell us about the wishing plate, because this is another great example, shining example of what Make-A-Wish is a can-do organization.
Yeah.
There's no can't in Make-A-Wish.
No, we don't like that word.
I know you don't. I can see that. It's hard to stop people when they have that really goal. But tell us about what Joe Plumieri has meant to Make-A-Wish and everything they're doing.
Joe's a visionary. If there's one word I needed to grab to summarize, and it's pretty difficult to pick one word to summarize who Joe is to us, but visionary is a word that comes to mind for sure. He is a successful man who has been incredibly philanthropic and generous to the community. New Jersey guy, and he was the cornerstone for building the Wishing Place, which is the first of its kind. There are 57 chapters around the country and almost 40 international affiliates around the world, but Make-A-Wish New Jersey was the first to put up a Wishing Place, the castle in Monroe Township, and Joe's parents' names are on it because he has said that they instilled that belief in the importance of giving back and giving your community and building up the community around you and building monuments to things you believe in. But Joe was the lead gift on that campaign, $3 million. And actually his giving has increased upwards of up to $5 million at this point. He's just such a generous person. He believes in what we do. And Joe put his back into this one and helped us see this vision through, because the reason behind the castle, and Joe believed in this, and so therefore we believed in this, was we were meeting our kids in their homes, in the hospital, maybe a borrowed space, a restaurant down the street, or a board member's boardroom. None of these places were conducive to imagination, and that's what Make-A-Wish is all about. Realizing that these kids have been dealt this blow, and their imagination and their innocence and their youth has been ripped from them. Make-A-Wish is supposed to come in and reignite that imagination. When you're meeting them in these environments that they've been surrounded by day in and day out, even in the comfort of their own homes, but some of these kids have been homebound due to treatment, not at school, not seeing their friends, so even home feels, confined. So we wanted to build a place, another option, that if they were able to come to, they would walk through the doors and they would see this grand space, this castle, and it would just immediately bring them back to childhood. And there's inspirational rooms throughout the place that we bring them through on their journey. And when we painted that picture to Joe and shared some stories of where that whole concept came from, some situations that we had found ourselves in with Wish kids who couldn't see beyond their current circumstance. One young boy, we met him in his eight story walk up in Newark. Him and his brother were both sick. They were living with their aunt. Their parents had passed away. And when we asked him what the wish was, he asked for a window unit for his aunt because she was working three jobs and she was hot and couldn't sleep. That's not the wish.
No.
We'll get you the air conditioner, right, yeah. But that's not the wish. So that's what one of thousands of stories behind why the castle. Joe saw it, he envisioned it, he believed in it, and he put his back behind it, and that's why we're there.
Well, God bless Joe and Plumieri family, and for guys like that and families like that. So that's in Monroe, New Jersey?
Yes, Monroe Township, right in Middlesex. We're about as center in the state as you could find us, so.
Right. Well, listen, Mike, we're gonna take a short break and be right back, okay? Please join us in 30 seconds.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
Thank you. I have a great honor. Like I said, we have Mike here, Mike Dominic from Make-A-Wish, New Jersey. And once again, you know, the imagination of Make-A-Wish and the way your organization has grown over the years, and you're watching it, you also have your hands rolled up and you're with the organization, but I know how important it is to you. What's the importance? You know, I was thinking about it, about how Make-A-Wish is transforming lives one wish at a time. And you come in contact with so many different folks. What's it like? Can you tell the listeners and people watching, what's it like when you see the eyes of the kids and the families? Because once again, when someone's sick, it's not just the person, the kid, it's the whole family, yeah. Friends. What's it like, Mike, when you see that wish coming true?
It makes you ready to get working on the next one. And you make a great point. That moment, we came to realize that whatever the wish may be, that experience in and of itself is life changing. And as you said, one of our rallying cries is to transform lives one wish at a time. But what we've also come to learn is there is that moment when they find out that that wish is going to come true. And that story I shared about that child who said, I just want a window unit for my aunt. There was so much skepticism and so much jaded view of the world that, you know, that the world had turned their back on these kids and the lives that they have been dealt. But to see the moment that they come to realize that this is going to happen, that I have made my wish and they have declared that it will come true. There's a spark there's a glow in the eye. There's a spark in their energy. That one young boy in particular wanted to play catch with Derek Jeter. And as soon as it finally did happen, his brother, who was also ill and qualified for a wish, he was the biggest skeptic, even saying, it's never going to happen. And as soon as it happened, we saw a change in his brother and he realized that there is good in the world. And there are people out there that want to do something for you that can change your life. And, you know, fast forward a few months and the family was in Disney on his wish.
Unbelievable. And you know, something I was curious about, because I love sports. I'm not as crazy as I used to be about it, but mm-hmm. I'm still, you know, a big fan of sports. So you mentioned like a guy like Derek Jeter. Mm-hmm. And you're coming in contact with a lot of athletes because the kids want to meet these great athletes.
They do.
Be whatever.
Yeah.
What would you tell the audience about, let's say, the real superstars out there? Are they good or bad?
Because they're great. Curious. They're great, and I mean that wholeheartedly. They are. We've worked with so many, and whether it's a sports figure or an actor or a musician or a full band, they take it seriously. They understand.
Although, Mike, just for
yeah, I'd love to. So I'm going to tell you a great story here. It's got a good New Jersey story here. All so right. Go back 5 years. So we're in our 40th anniversary as a New Jersey chapter, right? So 5 years ago, celebrating our 35th anniversary. And we're digging through the archives, me and my team and our CEO and our chief of staff. And we're loving it. We're literally in cardboard boxes of newspaper clippings back to our roots to just drum up old stories. How are we going to tell our story differently? You know, how do we, you know, share people the journey we've been on, especially how we got to the castle. I mean, we started in 1983 out of a back alley garage in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and here we are in this beautiful castle in Monroe. How did we get here? How do we tell people the story? So we're going through the old archives. We got finding newspaper clippings from 1983, and we find a clip of a young boy, Bobby Macaluso. He was up from North Jersey. I forget what town specifically, but somewhere up in this general area, actually. And his wish was to meet his favorite wrestler. So originally we're going, okay, this is a cool story, because right now the most popular wish to meet is John Cena. He's done over 650 right, yeah. wishes. I'm like, well, maybe there's something here. You know, the who has changed, but it's been wrestling for 35 years. How neat is that, right? You know, there's different wrestlers, different times, but kids have always wanted to meet the wrestlers. Look at this longstanding relationship. I did not grow up in a wrestling household, so the names weren't too familiar with me, right?
My late dad and I, we used to watch.
Then you might dig this one. So we're looking this up and we're going, okay, so he met this wrestler, Rocky Johnson.
Yeah.
Well, we dig in a little further and it comes to find out that Rocky Johnson is Dwayne The Rock Johnson's father.
Right.
Who actively grants wishes. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is one of our greatest celebrity wish granting.
Yeah, The Rock.
So long story short, we were able to get a message out to The Rock to tell him this story that we found this wish. It was one of our first 10 in New Jersey, literally one of the first wishes ever granted in New Jersey. And it was your dad that did it. And we sent him the clip. And we get a phone call. And it's him with his team. And he tells us the story. He goes, that photo, I'm the other kid in the picture. I was on that Wish.
Wow.
And I tell you that story because it was just incredible for us to share that, you know, you're a second generation wish granter. We coined that phrase with him.
Yeah.
And here you are doing wishes for a child in New Jersey on our 35th anniversary. She had just gotten back from seeing him on a movie set. And your dad did one of our first. And he will tell you, he just actually posted it yesterday on World Wish Day on his social media. Dwayne The Rock Johnson will tell you that the best part of his job is granting wishes.
Wow, that's all. And I have to say, I'm a big fan of The Rock.
We all are.
The guy is incredible. And he's so multi-talented for a guy that's a huge guy, but huge heart.
He is.
And he's an interesting guy.
But we see that energy in all these wishes. And I share that story because it's a great story.
Yeah.
But I share that to show you the passion. I mean, he took the time out of his day to acknowledge that story, to reach back out to us. He was shooting two movies at the time of our gala that year, so he couldn't be with us. But he sent a great video message that we were able to play that night for our guests. And he told the story. We didn't have to tell it. He told the whole story and shared that this is the best part of his job. And we've heard it time and time again from him since then. But we see that commitment from all the talent that we reach out to when we have wishes to meet sports heroes, movie stars, musicians, and singers. And what we've heard them all tell us back is, when you find out that a child could wish for anything in the world and they've decided that that wish is going to be to meet you, you take that responsibility seriously. And they do. They really do. And they're great to us. And they're great to these kids. I mean, and we appreciate it.
I mean, I watch it. It hits me in the heart when I see the athletes taking time. But it's genuine.
It is genuine.
You can tell when they're there, but they don't want to be there. But they are literally there when really sometimes no one's watching. And you could see they're really into being present with the young person who needs that hand up, that lift up, that spirit, and that to show that someone is famous, whoever it is, really cares. That's a beautiful thing. So let me ask you, you know, I was asking in advance, like, some memorable experiences, and I know that wishes are magic because everybody wishes. I don't care what you have in life, you're still wishing for something.
Right.
You always got your dreams, whatever it might be. But you're helping kids that are really sick. Clara and her action track chair wish.
Yeah.
That was the 10,000 wish. What does that mean? Because that was one of the wishes you pointed out. Why was that important and special to you and the organization?
So it was a milestone. It was our 10,000th wish, which was a great accomplishment for our chapter, especially if we've seen the number of wishes we've been able to grant year on year grow significantly since we built the Wishing Place in Monroe Township. We've just seen our funding go up, our volunteers go up, our presence in the community go up, and our wish count go up. So Clara was our 10,000th wish, and it was special to us, obviously for the milestone to celebrate, but also her story was so unique. Clara, young girl, they live down in South Jersey. And they live right off of a nature preserve, and they're big into hiking and taking long walks on the trails in the woods behind their properties. And they would just piggyback Clara on her mom or her dad's back. But she was getting older, getting bigger. And in her mom's words, she would say, Clara's getting bigger and the trips are getting shorter. And so she wished for an action track chair because her medical condition had placed her in a wheelchair. And this action track chair is a specific brand chair. They're built, the company's out down in Virginia. It's quite literally a motorized wheelchair with tank treads. I don't know how else to describe it. It literally has tank treads around the wheels that this thing can go off road. And actually, it even has the ability, it's in the seated position, but it can actually be, she can be secured in it and it can go into an upright position so if she's standing. And so that was Clara's wish. She wanted that action track chair so that she could go on these hikes with her family and mom and dad didn't have to carry her and there wouldn't be those limitations that they were now seeing. But the reason it stands out and is important to all of us is really behind what mom shared with us when we delivered the wish. We did it as a surprise. We've talked a few times here about the Wishing Place. One of the rooms in the Wishing Place is the wishing room where kids go and they place a crystal in the magic wishing in the box and they declare their wish and the room transforms and a shooting star goes across the wall and we tell them their wish is going to come true. Well, in Clara's case, we had her come to the castle to tell us more about her wish, or so we told her. And as she was upstairs experiencing the room with our CEO, Tom Weatherall, we were downstairs getting the action track chair out of hiding. We had a whole party set up for her in our theater, and she came downstairs into our welcome hall, and we revealed her wish to her. And between the tears, her mother shared with us, the thing she asked for was this action track chair, but what she wished for was her independence, and you gave her that today.
God bless you. Awesome. I mean, these are the stories. I mean, you got so many of them. Who came up with the idea? I mean, it's magic. I mean, this wishing place, but where they put their dream into this, this container, you know, this magical thing. Who came up with that?
So he's going to think I'm just, you know, just throwing flattery around, but truth be told, this was the vision of our current president and CEO, Tom Weatherall. He came in, he's been with the organization for over 20 years, the CEO for the majority of that. He came in as the vice president of development and then took the seat as the leader. And as he experienced in his leadership role, these stories I'm sharing with you, that story about these two young boys with that 8-story walk up in Newark, he was on that wish. That was his. That was one of his experiences that got the mind thinking.
Right.
And of course, then Tom, he built out the team. He put together a task force, and he said this task force needs to be everybody. We need the board. We need people who are current donors. We need potential future donors. We need a visionary like Joe. We need the medical team to tell us: is this the right track? Is this something? Have we come across something where we need to physically manifest more? An experience for these kids, bring them to a place. Will it help? Will it advance the mission? Wish kids. He had parents and Wish alumni on that task force. Every aspect of what we do and the people that we are comprised of were on that task force. And that's where a wishing place came to be. And then more specifically, what's it going to be? And it's going to be a castle.
You know, it's interesting. You say a visionary. You're a visionary, Mr. Weatherall, Mr. Plumeri, wonderful people. But you need vision to make dreams come true. And it's a pretty incredible thing to hear what you're talking about for me and for hopefully the listeners, mm-hmm. is how people are coming together within Make-A-Wish New Jersey with these dreams to have these ideas that they can make these wishes come true. You know, and I was reading, which is also striking, that for every wish you grant, 3 more kids need wishes,
yeah,
right?
So that's a global statistic, but yeah, we are reaching new levels of wish granting. As a matter of fact, pre-pandemic, New Jersey we're a leading chapter, and I don't say that just because we work for the New Jersey chapter and we want to boast that we're successful. Our body of work shows it. Our data points show it. We have metrics that we meet with across our national office and our sister chapters. We're a Category 1 chapter. We're on the smaller size geographically of the Category 1s, but we perform always in the top 10, quite often in the top 5 or 6. We outpunch our weight in terms of productivity, both in number of dollars raised and wishes granted. But to your point, we know that our work is never done. We did the year right before the pandemic hit, New Jersey did 595 wishes. And just to kind of illustrate what that number means, studies will tell us that in the state of New Jersey, about 700 kids a year will be diagnosed with an illness that will qualify for Make-A-Wish. So we're not there yet, but we were getting real close. And prior to the castle, we weren't at those numbers. These numbers have grown astronomically. In my short time here, in my 6 years here, I've watched us go from in the 400s to almost 600 a year. Pandemic hit, things had to change. No wishes were canceled. I do want to illustrate that though too, over those 2 years. They were put on hold. They were put on pause. If a child wanted to change their wish to something we could do during the pandemic, we were happy to do it. But we did not make anybody change their wish. If you wanted to wait until it was safe to travel, that was your prerogative, and we would let you wait. And now we're back to doing them. And those kids are getting on planes, and they have been for about a year now. But we're not there yet. And so our North Star in New Jersey is that 700 number, and every chapter therefore has their studies and their number that they know is going to be their incidence rating, we call it. But globally, the number, yeah, we're not reaching every child, but we have our mission to create life-changing wishes for children with critical illnesses. And then we have our vision, which is to reach every eligible child.
And I know I read that too, and you guys are so committed and so passionate. And like I said, it's just an amazing organization. For the listeners, again, if they want to reach out to Make-A-Wish New Jersey, donate, get involved, come visit the Wishing Place, get in their heart and soul the way it's in your heart and soul, what your organization stands for. How do they do it?
The best thing is to start at our website, nj.wish.org, or you can call us at 609-371-WISH.
Now, one of the things also is, and Make-A-Wish New Jersey does some amazing things, and I have so much love and respect for the first responder community. Yeah. We just had a big event for the Morris County 200 Club, and we honored our heroes, the first responders. The New Jersey State Police are outstanding.
Yes, they are.
Tell us about Colonel Callahan and what they do when they hear a very sick child wants to be an officer for the day. I mean, because can you kind of tell us, like, the reaction you get and the support team receives?
They just poured their hearts and souls into this one. So we have held the longest and closest relationship with law enforcement and first responders, both fire and police, and we can't thank them enough for their support. And that goes to our roots, not even New Jersey, the global founding of Make-A-Wish all began because in 1980, a 7-year-old boy named Chris in Phoenix wanted to be a police officer. It's 1980, big show on TV is Chips. These are his heroes, Eric Estrada. So Chris wanted to be a police officer, and he was battling leukemia at the time, which thankfully in this day and age, leukemia is actually an incredibly high cure rate. Unfortunately, in 1980, that was not the case. And as Chris's health was declining, his mom knew that if something was going to be done, if we were going to do this day that she had been, you know, thinking about and talking about, she had befriended some law enforcement. She said, if we were going to do this, we need to do this. And so they did. They put a day together for Chris. He was riding around giving out tickets. They get him a uniform, you know, custom fitted, badge them, swarm him in, put him up in a helicopter. I mean, you name it, he did it. And Chris, for all intents and purposes that day, was a police officer. Sadly, a few days later, he did pass. But everyone involved in that day, his mother, the law enforcement, and to this day, many of them are still involved.
Right.
They knew and they said something happened in Chris. Linda, his mother, said something happened in my son that day. And there are more kids out there like him, and they need this, and we're going to do this for them. And that's how Make-A-Wish was born. So when we get a wish for police officers, it obviously takes us all the way back.
Yeah.
And we dive in, and man, did Colonel Callahan and his team dive in. The last couple of years ago, we had two kids in New Jersey wish to be police officers. And they spent a whole day with these kids. They picked them up in their hometowns with their hometown departments, Camden County Police and the Florence Township Police Departments. We started there with each of these young boys. They were picked up in police motorcade escorts. They were brought up to the state trooper facility. They were exercising training exercises, knocking down doors, canine training, you name it. But then the day culminated at the wishing place, and there were over 100 police officers from 50 different jurisdictions lining our street to give these kids a salute. They were walked up to that stage, and Colonel Callahan himself took the time out of his day to be there and swear these young boys in. They did a helicopter fly over the castle. They had the mounted unit there, put these kids on horses. They put a Marine boat in our pond out back. What we knew the state troopers were going to get behind this, right? We knew New Jersey State Police understood the depth of what this meant because of our history. But we had no idea how far they were going to take it, and man, did they deliver.
Yeah, God bless the state police, and God bless your organization, because once again, it's striking when you see the effort that the law enforcement folks do to make it real and authentic and to give that young kid and their family that lift up, like people care. And that's one of the beauties of your organization, is you see all different people coming together for the common bond. Volunteerism, it's another reason why I love doing the show, is I love people that are willing to help others. It's not just themselves, because you need a legacy in life. Tell us about the volunteers you've come in contact with and how the organization relies upon the volunteers.
We couldn't do it without them. We're a small staff, and that's on purpose. We do run a lean team because we want our donors to know that their money's going into wishes. You know, there are a lot of nonprofits out there, a lot of charities, and in this current day and age, the donor is smart. Then they do their research, as they should, and they want to know that where they're giving, that their dollars are being spent towards the mission. And Make-A-Wish New Jersey, Make-A-Wish as a whole, prides itself on keeping that number extremely high rated. As a matter of fact, you know, the charity watchdogs out there, Charity Navigator being the most prominent, we consistently receive a 4-star rating, which is the highest you can receive from them.
Right.
So people can give with confidence.
I understand, because people are cynical, and I can't believe rightfully so.
And they should.
Some organizations, unfortunately, the donations are not going to really where it's needed. So God bless your organization for that.
But in order to keep those numbers where they are, we run a lean team, and we all have our roles in our organizational structure. And then we rely on an army of volunteers around the state to help us continue to move the mission forward. So like I said, we're going to do over 500 wishes this year alone in New Jersey alone. 25 people alone can't get that done, but 25 staff members, almost 30 staff members, surrounded by all of our volunteers around the state, that's how you get it done. And every child who has declared a wish receives a volunteer team of two people, and they're the ones who remain in communication in addition to a staff member on our team. But there's a team, and that family feels like they have a team, and they have someone they can call with questions, and that's how we keep the projects moving forward, and we keep multiple wishes moving forward. I mean, on any given day, I couldn't even tell you how many wishes we're working on, especially as we approach the summer months. It's our busiest wish granting season of the year. We'll do half of our wishes of our entire year in those 3 months alone.
So the community itself, how do you think it benefits the community when Make-A-Wish is obviously involved and there's a granting of a wish? What have you seen from your perspective?
It's infectious. I think the police officer wish is one illustration of that point. Reaching out to complete strangers in the law enforcement community and seeing over 100 show up for two young men that they'd never met and probably will never come across again in their entire lives, but wanting to be a part of it. Our volunteers, I mean, the commitment of our volunteers, and many of our volunteers have been around for years. I mean, if that doesn't speak miles to what it does in the community. The event yesterday, our walk and roll for wishes on World Wish Day, which we spoke about Chris Gracious and the founding of Make-A-Wish, yesterday was the anniversary of that special day. Just seeing the numbers roll out, what we've come to deeply understand is the ripple effect that a wish has, and these kids have in their own communities, and people want to get involved and they want to put their hands and their arms around something that they believe in. And when you see a child's family stand up and say, this mattered, this did something for my child, one wish mom has shared with us, it was the most simple sentence I've ever heard, but she said it at one of our events, and I can't tell you how many people have rallied around this phrase and rallied around this young man. But she said, Make-A-Wish exists because you believe that joy matters.
Yeah.
And the community believes that. And when they see it and they want to get more involved, and then you do get involved, and then someone else gets involved. I mean, we shared my story at the beginning. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't watch my family get involved and watch it. It's a ripple effect. And that's why we're here today, to say that we've done 550,000 of these around the world.
Yeah, that's incredible. And 550,000 wishes, but it's not just the word wish. You're actually changing lives. Yeah. You're helping folks who need it the most. I mean, once again, we all live in our own little bubble, our own little world, but God forbid someone's really sick you love and care about. You need all the support you can get. And for the families and for the children, these are strangers saying, we care, mm-hmm. which is an incredible feeling. I mean, what's the feedback you get when just these families that are struggling, the kids are really sick, and just strangers are doing really nice things?
It's immeasurable, because I think every child and family's experience is ever so slightly different, but the impact is life-changing. That's the one consistency across the board. We didn't put life-changing in our mission statement because we felt like it. We put it in our mission statement because that's what the parents and the families have told us we've done. We've changed their lives, and we're honored to have done that. It's interesting when we do speak to our families, because they often are the first people that want to get involved. You talk about this growing community of people that want to help. So many of our supporters have some way, some connection to a wish, whether it be a family member, whether it be a parent or a child or a sibling or a cousin or an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent. But oftentimes it's just, oh, that kid in my town, and I was involved in that. And that's why we often do these big public events. We'll do surprise send-offs at the schools. We'll, you know, we meet the family where they are. And often with the illness, there already may be a support structure in their town, in their community, in their school, in their place of worship. And those are opportunities for us to bring the wish to them. But so many families tell us after the wish experience that it's mind-boggling to them, humbling and inspiring to them, that this incredible life-changing experience took place. And it took place because of a donor, a volunteer, a staff member, a referral source, you name it. No one person makes this wish come true. There are multiple people that touch this in some way, shape, or form. And the families will come back and say, it's just incredible to realize that what we just experienced happened because of a whole bunch of strangers that we will never meet. And I think that's powerful.
It is. I mean, that's the beauty of volunteerism and giving back and helping others in need. I read that, and you had shared some, you know, information in advance of the show, that once Make-A-Wish gets into your blood, it never leaves.
Yeah.
And the importance of having a cause in your life that's meaningful. It's meaningful. What's the feedback you get from the volunteers? Because I understand, you know, you come in contact with some folks, could be one and done, but most, they're, once they get it in their soul, they're with it. Mm-hmm. Do they tell you the impact on their lives?
They do. They do so often. And you're right. Most I'd say it is quite the rarity of the one and dones, as you say. Most, you know, once they touch this mission, how can you not want to remain involved? But they do, and we're glad that they have that positive impact, and it is doing something in their lives too. Because volunteerism should enrich your life. That's the point of giving back in the world, is reminding ourselves that, you know, we are good by nature. We're not bad by nature, and to remind ourselves that there is so much good in the world, and there are ways that you can give back and uplift your own soul. There's nothing selfish about that. Selfish about getting something out of doing good.
No, absolutely. In fact, you get so much more out of it than you realize.
And right? And we want that, because that means that you're going to come back to that next wish and give it that much more and that much more and that much more.
So, Mike, because this is your heart and soul, what's the present need to Make-A-Wish New Jersey?
So, we're always looking for community support and creative ways. We talked about, you know, unique resources that are needed. But to be transparent, funding is always going to be our biggest need. And reaching more children. I mean, those are the two pillars right there, right? Raising enough funds to grant every wish that comes through the door and reaching more children every year. But with the pandemic having put wishes on hold, here we are over the last year plus that we've been back to doing, you know, all sorts of, but nothing had to be, you know, temporarily paused. Illness and diagnosis did not stop during the pandemic. Kids were still being diagnosed with life-threatening illnesses that would qualify for our mission. So now where we are is we've got all those wishes that we had to ask them to patiently wait until we could safely do it, and we're granting. But we're not taking in referrals today and saying, well, you're going to have to wait 3 years. So that up ramp of amount of wishes that are in the pipeline that need to be granted is immense, and that means the funding need is immense too. And so we're always looking for people to help us with our financial need. But there are other ways to do that as well. And there are in-kind resources that can help offset the costs, which is just as significant as providing the cash funds as well. Case being, you know, now we have so many wishes to travel. You can donate airline miles. You can donate unused airline miles to us, and we will use them to book airline tickets for our travel wishes. And by doing so, by not having to purchase the ticket, that's just as good as having the funds to pay for the ticket. That's just one example, but there are other ways. But like you said, we're privately funded, 100% privately funded. We don't get government support, and we do not charge our families fees. And the average cost of a wish is $10,000.
Yeah, I know it's really expensive, but you're helping people, you're changing lives. What's your own personal goal, Mike? You know, you're so involved in this organization. What's your personal goals? You have any goals you want to share with us?
Personally, and I think that I would probably be consistent with anybody who has decided on this as their career, it's to see the mission move forward in significant ways. We're 43 years young, I'll say, globally, 40 years here in New Jersey. And while transparently, I'd like to tell you, I wish an organization like Make-A-Wish didn't have to exist because these illnesses didn't exist. That's not the reality we're in. And the reality is that we're going to need to exist for a very, 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 very long time. And so I guess personally, my goal would be to see those numbers continue to increase, that we do reach more children. As long as they're being diagnosed, my goal would be to see us reaching more and more and getting to that, as we call it, our North Star, and reaching every eligible child. And I think that anybody who's touched this mission, either as a full-time career, a volunteer, a donor, or a referral source, would tell you the same.
And before we conclude this, you know, incredibly emotional, powerful show, advice for the listeners. What's your perspective on it? You've been with Make-A-Wish for 13 years. You can go back as a young kid and how it touched Matt's life and enriched your lives and made it so much better when you needed hope. What's your advice for the listeners?
Find something that you deeply believe in. And I do hope that it's Make-A-Wish, right? I do hope that, listening today, I hope that I have done this mission justice in a sense of helping people to understand that it's not just us thinking that what we do is important. It is the children and the families that have told us, you've changed our lives, you've helped them, you gave them something to look forward to get through that next round of chemo when they just felt like they couldn't take it anymore. Hearing that makes us know that what we do is important. But my advice would be, if this is something you believe in, I can only speak for Make-A-Wish, but I say it confidently. To whatever capacity you involve yourself with us, and if it is as a donor, you can trust us, and we take that gift, whether it's your time, your talents, your funding, whatever it may be. We don't take it for granted. We will not take it for granted. We appreciate you. We can't do this without you. We know that. We were founded on a base of people volunteering their time and efforts in the community. And we'll never forget where we came from and how far we have come. And just know that if this is a place that you want to be involved, know that you will be appreciated, respected, and we will be responsible with your time and your gifts.
Well, Mike Dominic, I respect and admire you and Make-A-Wish New Jersey. Your organization, in my opinion, is the best.
Thank you.
You guys embody what I really feel is important. You're helping others in need. Nothing's more important than lending a hand up, giving people hope, giving people inspiration, making dreams come true. Make-A-Wish New Jersey is really renewing hope and giving people a chance to live and enjoy life. I was thinking to myself, the power of a dream, a power of a wish. We can all make a difference in people's lives. Remember, we're in this together. God bless you all, and please tune in next week. Take care.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.